lot of amazing things going on around here. Really thankful for all the, man, so many great things. Hey, I just want to mention something to you, as you guys are well aware that we lost a giant this week. I shouldn't say lost, that's wrong word. He graduated, and one of his sayings, Billy Graham's saying was, the last breath you breathe here, when you die, and then becomes the first breath in heaven. You just transfer right on over. And that's what Billy Graham did this week. Pretty amazing, the life that he lived 99 years. And I don't know about you, but boy, I felt something in the spirit, your spirit filled with the Holy Spirit, the person of God. You sense things, you feel things, there's things in the atmosphere that you pick up by the Spirit of God. And when Billy went on to be with the Lord this week, it felt different to me in the spirit. I could feel something is in a transition, something is in change. It's like when it happened, I could see in my mind his torch that he carried. It says in the gospel, Jesus said it, actually it's in Matthew and Luke, that when you light a lamp, you don't hide it, that you put it on display for all to see. It's like a light can represent the gospel, the good, glad, merry news that makes someone want to leap for joy. That's what the gospel is. And Billy Graham carried that torch so well. I'm so thankful for him. My grandmother met the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade in 1950 in Portland, Oregon. It's part of the reason why I'm standing here, is because of the torch that he carried. So yeah, I'm so thankful. In fact, he's the only person that I wanted to meet on this planet. I don't have a desire to meet anybody else, honestly, of significance or whatever, but I wanted to meet him so I could thank him for sharing the gospel with my grandma and her meeting the Lord. But I saw this week, a spiritual vision type thing of his torch not being carried because he's with the Lord, but millions of torches waiting to be picked up. And I don't think that there's one person gonna take his place. I don't think God does those kind of things, but I feel as though there are millions of torches for us to pick up. And there was several prophecies. One, I mentioned Bob Jones a lot, not Bob Jones University, but a friend of ours, Bob Jones, who was, I would say, he was an authentic prophet. And there's a whole story related to that. He went to be with the Lord 4 years ago, but Bob said about 15 years ago or so, I don't have the dates exactly right, but I remember him saying this. He said, when Billy Graham dies, it will begin a great wave of harvest that the world has never seen before. And Benny Hinn prophesied something very similar. Kim Clement prophesied something very similar. Several other people have, that something would happen when Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. All the seeds that he sowed, there's something of a spiritual, I don't understand it all, but we are in this place of a greater harvest, and there's a greater boldness and courage to share and carry your torch. And I think that's what the Lord wants all of us to have, is to pick up that torch and to carry it with boldness. If you watched Kathy Lee Gifford this week on a show, it's like she just preached the gospel full on NBC. And it was just full on. It was like this boldness came over her and a courage. And that's what I'm talking about. I feel as though, it's time, that the world is desperately in need of the good, glad, merry news that causes people to leap for joy. And it's not going to be found in all these other things. You can be the most popular person on the planet. You can have 20 million views on your video or have a hit song or have billions of dollars, which many people have, and nothing touches that on the inside. Nothing fills that spot other than the person of Jesus. And this message is going to go in a great wave like never before. Would you do something with me? Would you bend over and pick up a torch on the ground? Just by spirit, just grab it. Just grab it by faith and carry it, and let's be the light of the world. Let's do this thing. Let's be that light. Let's have boldness and courage to share the truth, to share hope, to share love, to share life. Jesus said this. He said, I'm the light of the world while I'm in the world. And then he said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Thank you, God, for Billy Graham, and thank you, Lord, for the gift of him to the earth. And thank you that your light is now in our hands. in our hearts, in our mouths, in our eyes, so that we can shine and be light. I ask for boldness and courage for every person. Lord, we ask for that even right now. Boldness and courage more than ever before. More than ever before, that we have a voice and we are a voice of your love and your kindness and your joy and your hope. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so thankful. Interesting to me too, just, you know, that today they just put out the Olympic torch. I mean, today that happened. They just had the Olympics. Billy Graham dies. We get to pick up torches, and then they just extinguished the Olympic one today in South Korea. There's this, you know, the torch of Jesus doesn't go out. It doesn't go out. It's supposed to illuminate all the way through. In fact, we're called, Daniel prophesied, those in the end will be like the stars of heaven. They're going to shine in the darkness who we are. And I got to quit talking because we have someone else speaking today who is amazing. We have a very special speaker today, and it's my wife. This is Debbie Peterson. Come on up. She is an amazing person, a wonderful person. I'm not just saying that because I live with her, but because I live with her and I know her and I've known her for 27 years or so, or headed for 28, she has been through so much. She's one of the most overcoming people I've ever met in my life. And many people wouldn't know what she's been through and the difficulties she's been through her life. You can look at someone and assume because she's so beautiful and looks like she's got everything together that it's just been, whoop, been easy, and it hasn't. But she is also has this passion for the Lord. She has an evangelistic calling in her life as well. And she has a message for us today that's gonna help us grow in the Lord. Enjoy.
Good morning. Morning. Glad to be here, are you?
Yes.
Let's pray before we get started. God, I pray for power in this message today that I just feel surging inside of me. I pray, God, that there'd be a connection between me and my family today, that we could receive what you're saying in this wonderful meal you've already created. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like we like have a real meal going on here. Like I was thinking over there, we just like had an Italian salad and lasagna and tiramisu, like it all goes together. You know, we didn't have an Italian salad with a burrito. And that, I mean, this is all going together. It's really beautiful. So thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to talk about a desire and a longing that I have, and I feel confident that you have the same one. And that is that I am wanting the miraculous in my everyday life. I am not seeing it on the level that I'm wanting to, you too. And I am asking God for keys in that giving of the miraculous here on earth for myself, for the people around me, and for the world. All right, in first seeking this, the first thing I went to was fasting, because to me in the Bible, the fasting is like that power punch that, like, when the disciples tried to do miracles and they couldn't do some of them, you remember what Jesus said was that this one, for whatever reason, he doesn't say why, does not come out without prayer and fasting. And so I have been really intentional and crying out in my prayer, and then I went into a time of fasting, and for 3 days I had such grace. I was not hungry, and that doesn't always happen in fasting. The only reason I would have ate was because I just wanted to eat, and I felt God's nearness, and I felt him encouraging me to continue in that vein, and then he gave me two more keys to this miraculous that I am implementing right now into my life. And just am telling you what he showed me. Do you know what rose up the next week after I fasted? The law. Does that happen to you? Like the next week I was like, okay, what are we doing this week? How many days are you gonna fast this week? It felt like pressure. And so you know that voice, right? Matt always says, the Holy Spirit leads you by invitation and the devil just drives you. So let's not give into that driving voice. Let's just continue to try to hear what the Lord is saying to us in his invitation. Okay, the first key I received was that God has an expectation of us. That's a strong word. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 9 that he has this expectation that we would live our lives just like an Olympic athlete lives to perform in their sport. Now, I often live my Christian life like someone who's a very good exerciser. I exercise my faith, I I too exercise in real life. I exercise because I want to get fit, I want to stay healthy, I want to relieve stress, but I'm not an Olympic athlete, right? And that would be a whole nother level. And sometimes, often, I feel in my life that I'm following the Holy Spirit and I'm in step with Him, and other times, I'm just doing my own thing, right? When I go to the gym and I say, nah, that was enough, that was a good enough exercise. Even though I planned on running for 30 minutes, I ran for 20, you know? So let's read that scripture in 1 Corinthians 9:24. This is taken from the Passion. It says, isn't it obvious that all runners are on the racetrack and they keep on running because they want to win, but only one receives the victor's prize? Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. Now he's talking in the natural, but do you not hear him talking in the spiritual as well? But we, Jesus followers, run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. For that reason, I don't run just for exercise or one boxing, like one throwing aimless punches, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body and get it under my control so that after preaching the good news to others, like I'm doing today, I won't be disqualified because I'm going to live what I'm saying today too. So my key number one that I feel like the Lord is giving to me, and if you feel like He's giving it to you, is that I am intentionally subduing my body, my being, and my mind is in control and my will of my body with the same athlete, same passion as an Olympic athlete. Can we run that clip, Seth? This, before we do, I want to tell you a little bit about this person. This is from my college days. This is a lady named Gail Devers, who was in the Olympics. She's an amazing sprinter. She overcame Graves' disease while she was training as an Olympic athlete, which attacks your thyroid. She couldn't take any of the medicines that the doctors offered her because they were banned by the Olympics. She almost had her foot amputated because it was swelling for reasons that they couldn't detect, but she came back from all of that and she won 3 gold medals. But I want you to pay attention to how she claps for herself at the end of this race. Is that not powerful when she claps for herself? Just like, come on, I ran my race, I gave my best shot, right? And I thought, that is so beautiful. Now, there were other ones where she ran, but that one was even more beautiful to me because she had a right perspective about her race. It's all about us giving us our best and us finishing the best that we can. Her coach said about her, she came to me as a diamond in the rough, but now she's ready for a settings in Tiffany's, which I think is beautiful. I find the Olympics to be emotional. Is anybody else like that? Am I alone in that? Like when I watch it, I find myself just crying over these people. You look at them, their washboard stomachs and their muscles, and you're like, these people have given all for this. You want them to do so well. And so I see why God compares us to that, you know, like, I want you all going for this. I have an expectation for you to receive this crown at the end. And so I was pondering, Lord, tell me in my life how I can become an Olympian. What are the areas of my life that I am to be training like an Olympic champion? And so I just encourage you to go on this journey with God if you feel led. What are the areas in my life that I'm not being an Olympian in? And here's what he shared with me. In listening, or in any part of your day, when you've just had enough of, you know, in your natural, and you go above and beyond that, that's an Olympic champion. They always go above and beyond what their natural wants to do. You can feel when you're in that place, can't you? Like, this is beyond me. This wouldn't be my natural self to do this. And also, like in small menial tasks, I love the big glorious ones that everyone sees. Do you? And like those small tasks, like cleaning behind the toilet and stuff, like who even cares? And this is going to be like this again in about 1 hour. But that scripture that says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as you're doing it just for Jesus, Because at the end of this life, you're going to receive a reward for that. Come on, when we're in heaven together, I'm going to say, remember those toilets you cleaned? Ready for that toilet prize on your head? It's going to be like, But we're not doing it just for this natural time now. Although, do you not love creating beautiful spaces for your family? Like, there's a reward here, and there's a reward in the after. I'm going after small thinking. I'm starting on a new venture that I'm not ready to say now, but it's beyond me. And I'm super excited about it because I've lived some safe living in my decisions, and I'm going after something that is beyond me. How about negativity? This as well isn't the passion. Have you discovered this version of the Bible yet? It's really fabulous. It's the one that's casting down every thought and imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Seth, it's okay if you don't have that. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are casting down. The passion says it even more violent. It's like we are attacking every thought that comes against us, putting under the captivity of Christ. Anybody know it by heart? There we go. Demolish, that was the word I was trying to think. Thank you. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like a prisoner of war, every thought and insist that it bow to the obedience of the Anointed One. Come on now! So that's too hard, or what, all those things, there is violence involved with those thoughts. They're just not nothing thoughts. Those ones are taking away from the journey that you're on. Fantasizing, I'm coming after this thing. I have found, since I've been on this journey, that when I'm in a really hard place in life, I start fantasizing about my high school and college days, of how much fun they were and the ease of those days, and that's fine to have memories, but mine takes me to a place of, wish I were there. You know, with all your responsibilities, financing, who could have known adulthood would had this much coming against it? I didn't know. And there's so much coming at us, and we got to stay in that game. We cannot retreat and go back to other days. They don't exist anymore. You can't go back there. So let's just push through on those. Try to snap hold of your fantasizing and things you fantasize about. Those things aren't real. That's why they're called fantasizing. And then also this fasting thing. I'm going after this thing. I hate this thing more than anything. I like to eat food. But I really cannot argue with the closeness of God that I feel when I'm doing it, and I know it has that power punch. Okay, so that's my first key. I am changing from exercising to Olympic champion in the way that I am going to be living my Christian life. I say that out loud with fear and trembling. And the next key, I'm going to tell you about a real key that was given to me. This feels like a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I felt like I was supposed to share it. Years ago, I have a friend who has a big place in my life, and she called me one day and said, "Hey, Debbie, I was feeling as I was praying for you this morning that God has a key for you. I was in a really tough place in my life that I wasn't getting out of," and she said, "He's got a key coming for you," and I was like, "Okay." So I got right to prayer and I said, "God, I'm looking for this key and I'm listening for whatever you have for me to get out of this place." And so a little while later, a few days later, this lady who had bought our house, I hardly knew her, but what I did know about her is that she was into some spiritual things that I would not want to be involved in. And I went to her house and she said, I want you to see what I did with your kitchen. I was like, "Yeah." So I walked in, and in my kitchen were two huge keys, my old kitchen, two big keys. I was like, "What? I do not understand this." But this, like, sinking in my stomach was like, "God, I don't understand this. I have no interest in what this woman is involved in. I know you do not. What are you saying to me?" So I came home and I said to Matt, "I'm in confusion. I don't know what God is saying to me." He said, "He is saying nothing. You would not feel that way if he was saying something to you." But it was this kind of over here. And I said, "Okay, I am in faith, going to have discipline with my mind, and I'm not even going to let myself go there." And do you know that a few days later, I got this metal key from a friend in the mail, a physical metal key that said faith on it. And I learned from that lesson that in order to be an Olympic athlete, you have to have confidence. You have to have confidence that you know the voice of God inside of you, no matter how confusing things get. You have confidence that you know God inside of you, and he is not going to speak something that's going to take you on a wrong path. You can trust him. The second key in that too as well is another experience that I had where I admittedly say to you that I was following and put too much weight on certain Christian teachers and what they said. I was receiving great things from them, and then a person spoke something that made me do a big spiral down. And it brought me condemnation. It put me in a place that of fear and that I couldn't get out of. And I will go ahead and say what the person said because I want to get this out here, the untruth of this thing that I've heard by many Christian teachers, and God has clearly shown me that this is not true. And it will take you out of torment if you are tormented by this teaching that says, from Job, what you fear will come upon you. That wasn't even true for Job. And I've heard it by two really popular teachers in our circles. God said didn't say that Job was going through what he was going through because fear in his life. And so when I was in a place of overcoming some fears in my life, do you see how that would torment me? I was in torment over that. Like, I can't get out of this. Not even fear can get me out of this fear. Fear of that fear. I mean, it was just like, you boil that whole thing down, there's condemnation, there's fear, there's all these things. Anyhow, I tell you that if you've ever struggled with that, God took me to this place and he said, go to my word. It says, those who fear have not been perfected in my love. That's what I say about fear. So God, perfect me in your love because I can't even move from this place. I don't have all that I need to move out of this place yet, but I am trusting you to love me out of this place. Me fearing cannot get me out of this place, if that makes sense. And so another key in confidence is that we absolutely cannot put people in the place of Jesus. We can receive all this teaching, but we've always have to have that discernment inside of us. You're already doing this. I was not doing that. I fell to that. But God told me, have confidence. You knew that was wrong, but you went, but that guy, he's got some authority. He's a great teacher. He knows the Lord better than me. Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you, Debbie? And then we had another situation where we had these people that we had just met, and this woman had said out loud to us, when so-and-so's talking, he's a big teacher, which I respect these teachers. I hope you're not getting me negative about it. I listen to people teach. I'm not saying that. I think we should. But she said, when he's speaking, it's just like Jesus is talking to me. And I said, it better not be. And Matt was like, honey, tone it. I know she just hit that chord in you. But I was reading his look to me, and I was like, it better not be because, you know, I put my natural voice on. But I do feel passionate about that. And I hope you can hear what I'm really saying. We do need these people in our lives, but Holy Spirit has to have her first place. So that's another key in an Olympian champion, is that you have a confidence that you know when something's like, eh, and something's like, right on, I'm going on with that thing. So, okay. Key number two. This is my favorite part. Okay, ready? You already know this, but I'm just encouraging you in it. There is a position of authority created for us that we are not only invited to, but we are expected to walk in. Okay, now here's the analogy. I have four driving young people in my family right now. And if I were to buy one of them a car, we're not saying we're going to, but if I were to buy one of them a car, and then they continued to have friends taking them to school and getting an Uber and paying for it, I would be like, what are you doing? Like, I purchased this for you. Are you following me? I purchased this for you for your freedom. I knew you would enjoy it. This thing's going to give you so much more life, and you are not using it. That is really how God feels about authority, I'm convinced. He has these expectations for us to walk in things that we don't even know yet. I'm going to show you some things that rocked my world in the Bible. Which is the craziest book on earth, by the way. I read some things in there and I go, what? You cannot put this thing in a suit and tie. It is just the craziest book. Okay, so Revelations 1:5-6 says, we were made to be a kingdom of priests and kings. And what does a priest do? The priests, I was reading about things that they do, they are intercessors. They're in constant communication with God, these priests, and they do the sacrifices. And I read that when they put the sacrifice on the altar, it immediately becomes sanctified before the Lord. And so we as priests, we were made to be a kingdom of priests and kings. We are meant to lay our lives on this altar, and it will be sanctified before the Lord. It is our sacrifice. And we are to be in communion and cooperation with God because he knows what he made us for. This will bring us the most joy and power and fullness of life. We will become an Olympia champion priest as we lay that sacrifice down and we are in constant communication with God. I'm not talking about giftings. The Bible says in King James that the gifts in Romans 11, 29, King James Version, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So those are given without repentance. So that's why you can see sometimes people who are not walking with the Lord sometimes and they still have these giftings. And that's how he's made it. He wants us to live with confidence from that place that goes, I receive the gift of God in that person. We have to have discernment, right? But so we have this priestly kingdom with him, and we also have the authority of a king. That's what a king does. He rules and reigns. And how do I qualify to be this king in the kingdom? The first way I qualify is that I have crossed over from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life. There is this bridge that I walked over at age 21 from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life. His name was Jesus. He's a bridge. And I walked over when I identified with him and I said, sin has a price that I didn't know, and it is for me to have death forever in hell. Sin has a price. But you already did that for me in my place. You became death for me and paid my price. And in faith, I cross over that bridge of what you did to life, the kingdom of life. So if you have done that, you are now a qualifier to be a priest and a king in the kingdom of God. Let's read this story next, Seth, that is awesome. Luke 8, again, this is in the Passion. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in a boat and go across to the other side of the lake. So they set sail. Soon Jesus fell asleep, and the wind rose, and the fierce wind became a violent squall that threatened to swamp their boat. So the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Master, Master, we're sinking. Don't you care that we're going to drown? And with great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and surging waves, and instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Then he said to his disciples, why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me? Shocked and shaken, they said with amazement to one another, who is this man who has authority over the winds and the waves that they obey him? Jesus had an expectation of them. He expected them to awaken Jesus, and he would take authority over the wind and the waves. Or, possibly, this is just Debbie Peterson speaking, they would do it themselves. He had this expectation of them. They didn't even know it. They weren't even listening to him. He seems like we should have done this. Who is this guy? We didn't even know there was authority like this, and yet he was expecting them to know it. Because there's an above and beyond all we could ask or imagine that we are invited, expected to live in for our own fully alive living. Everywhere in the Bible, it seems Jesus is welcoming this stuff. Are you seeing it too? Just like this man that says, my servant needs a healing. You don't even need to come to our house. He'd never done that before. That was unprecedented. You just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus said, I like that. That's unprecedented. Okay. It's not like we need to go to the Bible and say, did he do it that way before so that I can know he can do that for me? He seems to be inviting this. Hey, that had some faith behind it. All right, let's do it. He's loving this stuff. I do believe that Jesus also purposely creates circumstances. Do you not? That I don't always enjoy. in my early 40s, Matt took me skiing. I hadn't been skiing since middle school, right? How do you know, do you not know that your body changes a little bit from middle school to when you're in your 40s? And so I got to the top of the hill, of the mountain, and I went, holy moly, how am I gonna get down this thing? And so I would ski a little bit and fall, ski a little bit and fall. And I said to Matt, I can't do this. I can't do this. He's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. This is really hard. And so then strength rose up inside of me and I said, I'm the only one that can do this. And I fell all the way down the mountain. But we have to have this knowing inside that God puts us in circumstances that strength, you know that strength. You have your own story where it rises up and you go, I've got to do this. I'm going to do this. And we have the authority to do it. And he's expecting it. Here's a great one too. This is Exodus 14. I'm almost done. It says, Moses answered the people as an Olympian athlete. Beyond himself, naturally, he said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. He's at the Red Sea. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. We don't find out what happens in between that and verse 15. And then it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me right now? Right? He says, tell the Israelites, move on, raise your staff, which is your authority, and stretch it out over the sea and divide the waters so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Moses had boldness and he spoke. Have you ever spoke something like, yeah, come on, that was inside of me. And then you have other moments and you think, how could I be that same person? But I am on a journey. I want to be that same person all the time. You too? Because we know something that they didn't know back in those days. All authority has been given to us to trample on snakes, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will in any way harm us. It's a promise. It takes faith to walk in it. So I'm going to shut us down now, but I just wanted to say, here's my two keys. Ready? That for myself, I've been exercising as a Christian. It's good exercising. I live a principled life, and I follow the Holy Spirit when I feel like it. But I am wanting to go deeper with the Lord because I think there's a key to that, to us living in the miraculous. And my second key is we already have this thing called authority. He's wanting us, expecting us to walk in it, and he's backing you up. Of course you don't have these things. I don't have these things, but he does. And that's where the faith comes in, right? For us to walk in these authorities. And so let's just close our eyes and close down in prayer. Lord, I thank you that so much, everything is on offer for us. Lord, and I am living on a mountaintop with you these last few weeks, Lord, of just your authority and your love and all that you have for me. And I want to stay there, where I am walking out what your dream is for myself, for my family, and for others, Lord. I want to encourage my brothers and sisters as they encourage me, Lord, that we can walk as a family in this place with you. And I thank you that you've given us all that we need to live a life of godliness. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
See, she's good, really is. That to stay in that place of being, I am a son, I'm a daughter of the King. He's giving me these things. I can walk in this. And there's that confidence that's needed to do it. Now is our time. The great wave of harvest is afoot. And we get to be a part of it. We're living in the greatest of times, the greatest of days. With all the challenges that are out there, there's no other time that God chose than this one for us to be alive. And thank you, honey, for sharing those things. Have an awesome day.